We've been going through Genesis 24 for some time. It's a long chapter, and we got a long ways to go yet. We had made it through verse 33 last week, and normally at the beginning, I usually ask you guys, you know, who remembers what happened beforehand, but I'm not going to ask that today, because I'm going to read a section to you that repeats pretty much everything that we went through before. So we're going to pick up in Genesis 24, starting in verse 34. And this is the Abraham's servant speaking. So verse 34. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son from the clan and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan. And if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." A lot there, but it's kind of a repeat, right? It's pretty much he summarizes everything that we've been going through chapter 24 thus far. But notice how at the beginning of this, in verse 34 and 35, how the servant speaks about Abraham's wealth. Why do you think he does this?
Shows he's been blessed.
And
that Isaac will be able to take care of.
Yeah. There. Yeah, and so he's not proposing like a raw deal for this young girl, right? He's not saying, "Oh yeah, Abraham, he's been struggling in the land of Canaanites. He's got so many enemies and he barely has 2 cents to scratch his back with," you know? And you know, who would want to go into that situation? go ahead.
He's presenting a true picture, too.
Yeah, he is.
It's a reality.
It's a reality.
Yeah, it's trust me kind of a thing.
He might be the number one salesman, but he's got something to say.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the best salesmen always have the best products, right?
That's true.
Well, maybe not.
That's a
it's
pretty
It sounded good, but.
Products that yeah.
Make, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Oh, maybe we should put it this way. A good product makes a good salesman.
There you go.
There we go. Maybe not the best salesman. Yeah. But, yeah, go ahead.
Some of those spammers are pretty good. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, basically, you know, he is telling them the truth, and he is, it's really, when you think about it, you know, these, at least probably the older generation, knew Abraham, right?
Right.
And
they would have had to.
Well, yeah, I mean.
They were his clients.
They were, yeah. And so they probably want to know how Abraham's doing. And so another reason to give this news is to say, you know, stop worrying about your relative. He is doing just fine.
It's also a witness
to
the fact that there was prayer put toward this, and prayer was answered in the way that you just have to shake your head.
Yeah.
And be taken back.
Yeah.
He's reiterating what we need to read, what they need to hear, which is a substantiation of this is how, this is my comment.
Yeah.
Before it was a prayer, now this is the answer. And
yeah, it's interesting that God had chosen Moses to repeat this whole story for us. Mm-hmm. He could have easily said, and the servant summarized what had happened. Mm-hmm. And then asked for, you know, tell me which way you're going to choose, you know. But instead, he repeats all these details for us, and I think that's key. That's crucial, because why do you think he would do that? Why would God want us to hear this story again?
To confirm the reality of who he is, and it's like when Stephen was accounting the history from Moses. In Acts, Stephen was saying, our fathers, our fathers, our fathers, our fathers.
Yeah.
And he got right up to the where the hammer came down. Boom. It was a reiteration of truth, of history, of reality you can't deny.
Yeah.
And then, so in a sense, it's a confirmation for us as well as for anybody who
read this. Yeah. And it's an amazing story, right?
Absolutely.
It's incredible how God worked out all the details to a T. And so God wants us to understand, I did this amazing thing. Oh, if you missed it, let me repeat it to you. You know, this is how amazing I am.
Yeah. He is, and has, like you talked about your daughter winning.
Yeah.
Prayer, and here through the whole time investing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's God saying, I'm capable of doing this.
Yeah.
I presume on the first time going through it, it was a ring for her hand, as opposed to the second time going through it. It was explicit. It was a ring for her nose.
I think that.
So I thought it was just kind of interesting. Maybe it's culturally for me was thinking that, but it's.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I just went back to look at it again.
Yeah.
You said a ring and bracelets. And right. The first time through. The second time through was a ring in her nose and bracelets.
And that he put it on her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like he actually placed it on her. Like that's something that we wouldn't get in this day and age. Not only that it's on her nose, but that. The servant was the one putting it on her.
Yeah. Why do you think that the ring goes on the nose?
I was
going to
ask you.
Well, if it were some type of an animal, it would be to lead them around. Yeah. I don't think that would be the case here.
I would hope not.
It is symbolic in that way, though.
For real?
It is, yeah.
Really? So
yeah.
How do we know how it would, like, beyond her nose?
Probably just
pierced,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. So this guy, yeah, this servant pierced her nose in the, at the well. I guess I don't get that when I read it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just wild and different. And not that I'm not I just would have never
guessed it. It's symbolic in marriage.
Wow.
Yeah, because it shows possession.
But I don't think it was like a pig type ring. I think, you know, like a lot of, well, who knows. But
not the size.
You pierce, especially in that culture, that's a sign of wealth.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't there, so
exactly.
I didn't see it happen.
Another thing that comes through, I think, the second time is that how confident Abraham was that this was going to go down as he.
Yeah, Abraham's
the story to tell.
Abraham's very confident that God will do this, that he'll send his angel ahead of him, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, so there are a few details that we get in here that we didn't get beforehand as well. Another thing we see is that, where is it? Verse 45, he says, "Before I had finished speaking in my heart," when he's talking about his prayer. Why do you think that little detail about his prayer being spoken in his heart? Why is that detail there?
She didn't overhear it.
Right.
She didn't overhear it.
No.
It's not like she was listening in and like, oh, here's this wealthy guy. I'm going to come do what he says because I know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's a window into the fact that it was a spontaneous occurrence. It wasn't preempted by a script.
Yeah.
It took place spontaneously from his heart to her actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and so it's definitely, it reveals Rebecca's character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't do this out of selfish means, and it reveals the power of God as well. You know, this wasn't an overheard prayer. This was just his prayer in his heart, and Rebecca fulfilled it to a T, you know, even before he finished praying, right?
And it reminds me of Hebrews where it says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this servant was diligently seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
Perform. And talk about rewarding him for his faith.
Yeah.
And his service to the team.
Mm-hmm. Any other details in here that you guys noticed might have been slightly different, or
it says he bowed his head in verse 48. Yeah, he confesses, "I put the ring on her nose and the bracelet in her arms, on her arms." So he confesses he's the one that did that.
Yep.
She didn't do that.
Yep.
And then I bowed then. After he had performed that, then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. It's almost like he's saying it's a done deal already.
Yeah, yeah, it's, but it's not quite a done deal,
no.
Is it? Because, you know, we get to verse 49.
Right.
"Now then, if you are going to show your steadfast love and faithfulness to my master." What's interesting about this steadfast love, this is kind of the theme that's been going through this chapter, right?
Right.
beforehand it was God's steadfast love. Now whose steadfast love is it?
The Father's.
Yeah, the Father's and the family, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And so he's putting the choice before them. Why does the servant leave the choice up to them?
Well, he's not going to steal her.
Yeah, he's not going to steal her, right?
He has to be a willing, it's a two-sided agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to be accused of wrongdoing.
If there's no choice,
it's duress.
Yeah, it's duress, and God didn't cause it. Or Allah didn't cause it, because.
And the servant specifically said, asked, you know, what if she will not come at me? So just like an extra layer of confirmation that this is.
Yeah. Yeah, because he mentions to them, right? You know, if they don't, if they say no, you're free to go. So it's not like they're under pressure to say yes, right?
However, I suspect that with all the details that have been laid out, they had to have been contemplating, do we dare say no?
Yeah. Let's read a little further and let's find out what they did. Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." When Abraham's servant heard the words, well, let's just stop there.
Probably a good response.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, what is this response? What do they say? Yeah. And who's making the decision here?
Laban and Bethuel.
Laban and Bethuel. Who are they?
Laban's the brother.
Laban's the brother. Bethuel is the father. Right? Yeah, and so.
So Bethuel is Abraham's brother?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Or.
What did you
mean? I'm trying to remember the genealogy now.
Raven, brother.
Well, Terah's the father, and then, what was it, Nahor? This might be the nephew of Abraham, Bethuel. No, we'd have to go back and check. Yeah, Laban's the brother of Rebekah. Bethuel, we're trying to figure out.
Abraham's brother, Nahor, was Abraham's brother. It says, he's born to Nahor, Abraham's brother. So, who's Bethuel?
Yeah, Bethuel. It's further up. Okay, now after these things, it was told to Abraham, "Behold, Milcah also born children to your brother Nahor, Uz his firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemuel the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlaph, and Bethuel." So Bethuel would be Abraham's nephew.
Bethuel, father of Rebekah, it says here in verse
20. Yeah. So Rebecca would be a second, what would that be, second cousin to Abraham? So Nahor is his brother.
Yeah.
Bethuel is Nahor's son.
Yeah.
And then
she's his daughter.
She's his daughter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her family tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who's Bethel again? Her
elder? No, her father.
Her father.
Rebecca's father is Bethuel.
Okay.
And Bethuel's the son of Nahor, and Nahor is Abraham's brother.
So they would have been related to Lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all connected.
Only Lot's dead guy, he had to be in that too.
Yeah, they're all in the bloodline somewhere. And we're all related when it comes down to it. All right. So why is the father given the decision here?
Isn't that just what they did?
That's God's
She was under the authority of her father.
Yeah, and so she's under the authority of her father, and so he must transfer the authority to someone else. This is why even today we still have the tradition of, a man asking a woman's father for her hand in marriage, asking for his blessing. I don't know if we understand that tradition, but that's where that comes from.
That the union would be blessed.
Yeah.
In other words, the guy goes to the dead because he wants the blessing of what he hopes to take place.
Yeah. And the understanding behind it is that ideally the father wants what's best for his daughter, right?
He has the option to say no.
Yeah, he has the option to say no. And so he has that option. But ideally the father would want what's best for his daughter. But Bethuel, he's... And Laban. So Laban's kind of in on this decision too. I don't know why, but maybe the protective older brother, maybe. I don't know. But they believe, what do they say? The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Right? And what does that mean? What are they saying there?
It's God's will.
This is God's will. Right? I mean, after everything that has transpired, how can we say no to that?
Yeah. Why would you want to fight?
Yeah, we don't want to fight against it.
It's an accepted transaction.
Yeah. And so they say, behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. And so we see God being faithful to Abraham here, right? And faithful to the servant. Let's see how the servant responds to the news. Verse 52. When Abraham's servant heard the words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. We'll stop there. What kind of response is this?
Grateful,
humble, praising God. Yeah, he's found success, right? The Lord has given him success.
Relief, too. There has to be a form of relief in here as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
After being sent out, rid of this crazy oath with a weird way out, it still came to be a positive outcome for his master.
Yeah. I mean, it's... just put yourself in the servant's shoes and just all that has gone on. I mean... How do you not bow low and praise God for all that's been going on?
Plus, it's a recognition that humbleness before God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's almost like he poured out his gratitude and humility before the Lord. And then it's almost like he jumps up, as it were, in jubilation.
Yeah.
And carries out the hand.
Yeah, verse 53, right?
Talk about relief.
Yeah.
It's and the, like, get rid of this stuff.
Yeah, and the servant brought out jewelry of silver and of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they spent the night there. We'll just pause there real quick. Yeah, and so he's being lavish with these gifts, right? Mm-hmm. And who's he given these things to? Yeah, to her and her family. So to Rebecca, but also to her brother and her mother. I don't understand why the father's not mentioned here.
There's something about he might have been of an age so old that he had relinquished his responsibilities.
To Laban? It could be.
I read
that. Yeah, it could be that Laban's kind of the head of the household now. Because we see him in the decision with Bethuel. Mm-hmm. And now gifts are being presented to Laban and not to Bethuel. Mm-hmm. Which may be an indication that Laban has taken head of the household duties.
Yeah, went back to
bed,
so to speak.
Yeah. Retired. Yeah. Yeah. Why? You know, weddings are done a little differently in the West than they are in a lot of other cultures today. We don't really have this tradition of giving gifts to the bride's family, right? And I'm not exactly sure why that is. You know, when I was in Thailand, they had that tradition where the husband typically would save up for like a year and then present a gift to the father of the bride. And typically in Thai tradition, what happens then is after the wedding, the father will then present that to the bride and groom afterwards. And that tradition probably came about because, you know, as a young couple that are just getting started and the father wants what's best for his daughter, and, you know, he's got this dowry here, let's give it back to them so they can have success. But we don't really have that tradition here in the U.S. Don't know exactly why or where we lost it, but
what kind of gifts would they get to the
bride? Typically, it would be like they would typically it would be either like wads of cash or actually gold. That's what they do. Could be gold. You know, if it's a wealthy, like, person, then it would be bars of gold. But typically what I've seen is, you know, it would be stacks of 1,000 baht. That's kind of their highest currency.
Okay.
So if you think of, like, $100 bills, like stacks of $100 bills.
The wedding, I know when I had a new friend, and their weddings lasted 7 days. And maybe was there something in that the gift was given an ability to purchase what was needed for the wedding places and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that may be part of it too. It's not typically not a 7-day ceremony in Thailand. It's just a day ceremony. It's interesting how they do it because they actually have the proposal in the morning, and then they have the wedding in the late afternoon. And so you propose the day you get married. But it's all planned ahead, so the proposal really is like months in advance. But yeah. Yeah.
So by the time you get to the day, it's a sure thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes pressure off.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, we're running out of time, so we're going to stop there. Any other thoughts or questions on this before we close in prayer?
I love the details.
Details are important, aren't they?
God's very much in
them. Yeah.
Or in another way it says, God goes to great, to a great extent to kind of to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't take any chances.
Yeah, God doesn't take any chances, right? Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Paul?
I was just going to say that like we were talking about with Laban, I thought it was kind of important that when they mentioned about how Laban and his father answered, that Laban was mentioned first. You know, we've mentioned a lot, but just the fact that he's placed ahead of his father, even though the father would probably have the head of the household I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it wasn't elder abuse.
Yeah, who knows? You know, who knows what's going on with the family? We don't have those details. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for how it teaches us and instructs us. And we thank you just that you are a God of the details, a God who answers prayers in amazing ways. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of marriage as well, and how gracious you are to us through that. Lord, be with us the rest of this morning as we continue to worship you and continue to look at your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us in all these things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.